Hello and welcome to the Inside Voices podcast. It is a mixture of news, interviews, and segments. I'm your host, Nathan, and this week we'll hear an interview from our special guest,
Head of School,
Mr. Hamilton. We now go over to Chris for this interview.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christian, and today we are joined with the new Head of School, Mr. Anthony Hamilton.
Good morning. Hi, how are we?
We're good. We'd like to start off with asking you about yourself and how you came to Stanford.
Oh my goodness, that's a rather long answer. I guess the best thing in terms of for Stanford is that I was a head in England for 12 years. So a really quite a long time. And I decided to go to Egypt to help my friend, who was the head of an international school in Egypt. And as I went as a school improvement partner to help improve a school. I thought I might have retired. However, Stanford job came along and I was really, really keen to come here to see, if its reputation really stood up to things. But secondly, obviously, once I got here, to make sure that not only would this school be the best in Ethiopia, but the best in East Africa.
Are you married or do you have family?
Oh, goodness, that's a big question. Really personal too. Okay, well, my first wife died when I was only 32 from cancer.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay, and that's obviously a massive hole for me. I did remarry. I'm divorced now, but I've got a beautiful boy. He's 14. That's he thinks weird. He's 18, actually. Just a bit like you, thinking you're a lot older than you are. I think he's wiser than his age, but...
Is he here in Ethiopia or is he in England?
He's in England, although he thinks he's in Ethiopia. He's on that phone and that FaceTime thing all the time with me and telling me off if I'm out. And then I phone him back at 11 o'clock asking me where I've been, what I've been doing. He thinks he's my parent, I think. But yes, no, he's in contact with me all the time.
So when did you retire from running and then start in the school,
in
education?
Gosh, running. When I was very young, and I ran for Great Britain, that was, oh my goodness, when I think back, it's like another life. 34 years ago. But I ran for Great Britain, went into the Paralympics in 1988, 92. By that time, I was teaching as a teacher in England. And I ran in the European Championships, went to places like Moscow, Paris, Sweden. You know, luckily, I saw much of Europe at that time. But by the time I was 27, you know, I wasn't running internationally by then. I'd won these medals and, you know, I'd got married and there was lots of things happening. So, but I still run every day, almost every day now here. Although it's taken me a little bit of time to get used to the altitude here.
Yeah.
It's very different. I now know why Ethiopians win every race.
Yeah, it is different. And usually in the races in Ethiopia, like anything can happen. It's not as coordinated as it is in other countries. And so we just wanted to ask, what's the most craziest thing that's happened in a race or coming up to a race in your life?
The craziest thing that's happened in a race. I suspect there was the bit where somebody elbowed me in a race as I was going around. They stuck their elbow out and I went flying into the side of track. It's quite rough, you know, athletics. I used to run 800 metres, 50, and so everybody's quite packed close together and arms and legs are all very close. And sometimes when you get caught by an elbow, particularly, or a leg, you can't, your momentum, because you're going so fast, you can't stop, you're just going to fall. But when I fell, it took two other people with me. It was one of those things, but it happens. It's, you know, it's part of being a contact, sometimes it is more of a contact sport. It's not like running 100 metres and you're in your own lane and no one can touch you. In the sort of longer distances, you know, everyone's really closely together. So, yeah, it's strange.
Yeah, so we can see you have like a big passion for running.
Yeah.
So how did it feel when you had to retire from running?
I mean, I think it's like anything. I mean, you find other channels. But actually, running taught me a lot about being ahead, you know. Because, and, you know, in terms of the things that I'm talking to you about preparation, you know, you don't win an Olympic or Paralympic gold medal in one moment. It's years of training. Okay, dedication, going out when it's pouring with rain, when it's cold, when you rather sit in and just relax. That it's so hard to have that discipline. But if you train hard and work hard, then when you get to the Olympic finals or the Paralympic finals, what it is you can then let your talent go. And it's a bit like that for GCSEs. You know, you work hard over a long period of time. When you get to the GCSEs, you'll be fine. If you try to do it, it's like if you try to prepare for a Paralympic final 2 months before, you're not going to do very well. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for... And so the sort of discipline from athletics helped me as a teacher. And then, obviously, when I became a head teacher, you know, that sort of sense of wanting to win as well, that's still there, actually. Yeah. I don't like to lose at anything. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but that's true. Yeah. But the discipline of what you've done in terms of your training and that is what makes you... you know, stand out from the crowd. I don't want to be average at anything I do. And I try to instill that into the children, certainly when I was ahead for 12 years in England, and I'm going to do that here, about understanding where we've got to go. And that's why you will know that younger year groups have been doing Cat 4 tests, because it gives potential grades for their ability, and then they can work to that and exceed that. It's that's the whole point of it. So running's had a big influence on the way in which I've run schools.
Yeah. Most teachers, usually, if you ask them, did you like school when you were a child? They usually say they didn't like school that much, and now they're teachers or they're heads. And it's kind of like two extremes. Mm. And we want to ask, how was it for you? Did you like school when you were younger?
Oh, goodness, mate. School for me was even more obscure, really. Because my sight wasn't perfect, I got sent to a school just for people whose sight wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that school, okay, was that there was no aspiration, you know, that people thought because you couldn't see, you couldn't do very well.
Yeah.
And I don't know quite why, but I just didn't accept when people said to me, you can't do it. And so in a way, it drove me to do and prove that I could do things. And the athletics part of that helped, but it wasn't just that. It was like, you know, a character thing. So I had a tough schooling, if I'm honest. But maybe that's also why I'm so adamant about what has to happen now, because I had a bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want any other child or family to have bad experiences as we go forward in the future.
Did the mentality of like not having the need to do to exceed people's expectations in school, did it come from the students or did it come from teachers, or was it like everyone?
I think for me, is if you're honest with yourself, you have to be self-driven. Everybody does.
Yeah.
There has to be a drive in you. I mean, you know, you can create the conditions, and you know, I'm looking at the school now, and I'm thinking that what my big role is to act as a catalyst to create the conditions for fantastic learning, and that's with the teachers, and it's with the students. With the teachers, you know, I will encourage and try to ensure that the highest quality is delivered. And but what from the teachers, they have to have that drive to want to do that. Because you know, there's a phrase in England that you can take a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink water.
Mm-hmm.
But the same for students. You can create the conditions, but there has to be something that's driven from inside you if you're going to be successful. You know, and no matter what conditions you create, if the individual, whether that be teacher or student, doesn't choose to do that, then it's not going to move at the pace it should. So my job is to try to ignite, I guess, that thirst for learning.
Yeah. Were you ever, like, did you ever get into trouble in school, or were you a good kid?
No, I was mostly a good kid, because in the school, as I told you, I went to, the issue really for that was that, you know, I was doing the running and everyone's like, oh, amazing. So I'm afraid I wasn't in trouble.
No.
No stories.
Yeah. We asked you a lot of questions now. Are there any questions that you would have asked yourself and if you were in our position, or anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, from the student population and the parent population and even the teacher population, I have this philosophy of, you know, you've got to support people, you've got to develop people, and you've got to challenge people, okay? I think that that should come, and I think it's good if you do all three of them. If you do one of them, it's bad. Yeah, you support, just support, nothing moves forward. If you just challenge, nothing moves forward. But if you do the three things, it is. If I were you, and I would have been interviewing myself, I would have been saying, what is it that we need to do for the school to improve? But my question back to you is, and one that you need to think of, and maybe whoever's listening to this, is what is it individually I need to do to improve? And if a student body, and the time will come where you have an opportunity to talk to me about the student's view about how the school should improve, okay? And about how we can better engage families in the life of the school. I guess that's what I would have maybe asked myself.
Okay. That's all from us today. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We will now be switching over to Amin for the latest news.
Hi, and welcome to News with Amin. First off, I'd like to remind my fellow Year 11s and the parents about mocks. As you know, unlike other times where the IGCSE mocks were held in January, this year they'll be held at the end of November, starting Monday, the 28th of November, and ending on Friday, the 9th of December. This is a tactical decision made to give us more time to study for our IGCSEs in 2023 and over the Christmas break. Because this date is so very close and fast approaching, we remind you that this is the best time to start studying. Get ready and remember not to stress too much. We also have some information about the CAT exams, which will be taken by everyone secondary except the Year 11s. These tests are designed to measure each student's ability and better help teachers to focus as well as specialize their students for subjects they deem are most necessary. Knowing a student's strengths and weaknesses can help not only us, but the parents at home that guide the kids to a better and brighter future. We will also be having a bake sale on the 20th and the 21st of October, so be sure not to miss out on all the delicious treats. All the money will be going to a good cause, so don't feel bad about loading up that pocket. That's all for this week. I hope you have a great day.
Everyone, I'm Nahomi and I'm here to bless y'all with some information about the clubs here in school. As some of you may know, there is a newly opened book club. They meet on Mondays in Mr. Jeremy Reed's room and they read fun books and talk about them. From Monday to Friday, they're having a book drive and you can bring any books you want to donate and take them either to the Ivy Common rooms, Mr. Jeremy's room, or Mr. Guy's room. We urge you to donate because these books will be given to the Aberholt Library, which is in dire need of new books. Yeah, that book that's just sitting there on your desk to aesthetically please you? Come on, guys, bring it over. It's a very good cause and you'll be doing a great service to the people in need of this book. We also have some information about the Interact Club. As you all probably know, this Friday will be Sanford's annual UN Day. This day is planned for all students to celebrate the diversity in our community and most of all, how we have all come together in this school. For this reason, all students are encouraged to wear traditional clothes from their culture or a culture that they love. Furthermore, we will be having all sorts of activity that have been organized by the Interact Club of Sanford and the Prefect Council. The Interact Club of Sanford will be having the school's biggest bake sale on this day, so make sure that you don't miss out on all the snacks and treats. The club will also have a competition for the best baker, and the Prefect Council will be organizing a flag dance of countries from all around the world and a fashion show of students wearing their traditional clothes with a competition for the best dressed. The winner of this competition will receive a huge prize. So if any of you guys are interested to join the competition, please contact the Year 12s before Friday. There is also live performances of students playing musical instruments and dancing with both traditional and modern dancers. And most importantly, there will be donation boxes for students to place books, hygiene products, canned foods, and clothes that they would like to give to the people in need. The donation boxes will be put up all throughout this week. The celebrations on this day are planned to start right after period 4 or 6 and go on for the rest of the school day. All funds that are collected will be donated through Interact to organizations in need. Don't forget to bring your money, wear your traditional clothes, and we'll be glad to see you there.
Before we wrap up this podcast, I want to introduce a new segment that we call SIS Confessions. We want you to submit answers to the questions we post, and we'll pick out the best answers to read on the podcast. See you next time.